You better listen to a sermon by Apostle Aramel Tsai. Apostle Aramel Tsai is the founder of Remnant Christian Network based in Makati, Benue State, Nigeria. We strive for the rebirth of apostolic Christianity.
Can you look upon his face and give him worship from the depth of your being? We have come to a realization that you are true. O Rock of Ages, great and everlasting God, we want more of you. We want more of you. We make a public proclamation about our limitation, our incapacity, and how that we need you to become our sufficiency. We want more of you. We can never have enough of you. And so we have come to drink of your endless bounty, that we might find strength, that we might be strengthened with might, even by your spirit in the inner man. We want more. We have been afflicted with a hunger that seems not to ever be satisfied. It's a hunger for more of your presence, more of your spirit, that we might drink that drink that is drink indeed. We want more. We want more. We want more. We want more of you. More of your spirit. More of the river of life. More of you. We have come to take a hold of you. Nigeria is parched and dry. Everything is failing because your presence has not been with us as a corporate national persona. We bring the cry of Nigeria to your altar this evening. A cry for life. A cry for sustenance. A cry for revival. Indeed, we as a nation want more of you. We want more. We want more. And so we ask that the river of life might flow into the dry nation called Nigeria, heavily impoverished by the spirit of corruption, heavily endangered by the power of occultism. And we cry for your presence, that the river that brings life, that which quickens, might flow within the nerve of our reality as a nation. We want more. Everything in Benue State is failing. We can no longer do business in Benue State for it to thrive. The economy is elusive. The security that was once in government jobs is now elusive. Pensioners are in limbo. We want more of him. Our future looks bleak. Our possibilities look malign. Except the river of God come to quicken us as a people, we are at the verge of destruction. River of God, look upon the patch grounds of Benue State with mercy. And let there be a flow of that which quickens, that which makes alive. Bring life to us. Bring life. Bring life. Bring life. Bring life. For the only merchandise that we have in the house of God is life. Let the merchandise of the Spirit flow into the land and let there be life. Can you raise a prayer for Benway State? As you cry to God to release His river into the state to quicken it from certain destruction. Arise on our behalf and send life to the state. It is strangled. It is under oppression. Darkness seeks to pluck it out as an inheritance. We call for intervention. We call for intervention from heaven. Thank God for the intervention that has come to the state university. But we call for intervention. We call for relief, for ventilation, for refreshing. Help Benway State. Breathe upon Benway State. Deliver Benway State. Our institutions are failing. The recession bites hard. There is no philosophy anymore that is the basis of the price of commodities. Money is failing as it failed in Egypt. Help us, O God. Let the river that brings life flow into the land. Let the hand of judgment from the Lord strike at anything, any group of men, any conclave, any clique, and any club of men that have decided to stand as barriers against the advancement of Benway State. Now the rivers of deliverance might flow, and let such men be brought into captivity. We call upon Him. Thou Ancient of Days, deliver us. Kubahambe samandale. Bresko panahila baba hai to samandale. Ebreke sanda liko pata mene kabaranto isombrekete la samandale. Oh God, we give you glory. In Jesus' name. Yesterday, at midnight, some pictures were sent to me on WhatsApp of the cage of dollars that were uncovered in the house of one of our governors. It's a cage of dollars, $100 bills. It was much more than the frame of a waterbed. He's a governor of one of the states in the northeast, where there is the most manifest presence of Boko Haram. What is really happening is that a lot of people are feeding off the menace, feeding off the war, feeding off the struggle. A cage of dollars. In fact, there were also 500 naira bills in an unending volume. Hallelujah. That one was within the scope of visibility of the camera's eyes. That volume had no end.
that we have men that are using the sweat of the land to drink wine. Such is the philosophy of the tax master. The tax masters of Egypt. They use the sweat of men to drink wine. And the idea is that the war should not stop. So that resources can be coming in. And then they siphon. Oh, that's why we had to call on the justice system of a higher order of justice, judgment, and equity. To invoke the name of the Lord our God. Before you sit, or even if you are sitting, no problem. But I want us to pray. And we're asking God, I say, Lord, any man feeding off the misfortune of our land, let a bitter curse come upon him and his generation. I know you don't like such prayers, but you see, the will of God is tantamount to the resistance of tyranny. You see, Moses, in prosecuting the will of God, had to stand against tyranny. So it is the will of God for us to bring words before heaven, to provoke the justice system of heaven to work against mortal men that have decided to besiege the land. There are many people feeding off the struggle. Probably in Benue State, if there are people feeding off this struggle, feeding, fat, buying lands, and feed, let Jehovah Sabaoth, the man of war, let him pluck his hand from his thigh and put it upon a sword of justice, a sword of judgment and equity. Let us feel the heat of his fiery presence through the land called Nigeria. Can we raise that cry and place a demand on the courtroom of heaven? Save us. Save us. Save us. Men that drink off, that eat off our dilemma. Buying lands with funds meant for the poor masses, diverting funds that never existed in the budget, that were based on reforms, in order for intervention to come to the poor man that is laboring faithfully in his place of duty, diverted by mortals, diverted by men that survive on the breath of God. Arise, O God. Arise, O God. Arise, O God. Arise, O God. Let the enemies of this land be slaughtered. Let a bitter curse come upon them. Let no one escape. The breadbasket of the nation has become a ridicule. Come to our aid, O God. Come to our aid. Come to our aid. Aloba Hamasante. Likopata mene sobre kabalatona.
Ansumina kamres abala tomeneke labahai. Ebroske tamina kude ya tatala tatamina kande. Prante soma tatalia kabres kupata balato menegali. Reskopan dele kupatwa. Mento sheke talamana toko bokoto. Ambre ketasana tateko tamenegade. Let it become evident that you are God and that you are governor among the nations. Let the right hand of thy righteousness go to work. Let men that seek to enslave other men be cut off. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Job chapter 42, verse 5. Job chapter 42, verse 5. Upon careful investigation, careful consideration of the spirit of the hyper grace movement, it is obvious that the intention that the sets of teachings are poised at advancing are designed to cut us off from the experiential, organic, and vital dimensions of God. For instance, the hypergrace preacher says that a believer is not supposed to confess sin. Jesus Christ paid for the sin of the believer, past, present, and future. And so forgiveness is an available package that we can appropriate without placing a demand of confession. Now, the spirit behind that kind of teaching is to raise believers that are not responsive to the feelings of the Holy Ghost. It is an adventure. It is advanced in order to cut off our experiential dimensions. For instance, when people begin to teach that the Holy Spirit does not convict a believer of sin, and it is in white and black in a book that was written by one of the foremost preachers in this particular doctrine spree, is indicative of the fact that the governmental dimensions that the Holy Spirit places on a believer in order to bridle him and constrain him and bring him through promptings, nudgings, and expressions of his feeling concerning our disposition, with a view of bringing us into alignment with him, such that, or so that we can fully partake of what he's offering us, is cut off. Now, the attack here is an attack on organic realities, living realities, vital realities in the economy of God. Now, the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 5. This man goes, this is what I call a migration. It is because of the subtle attack
on the organic dimensions of our experience of God that I want to dedicate this night to considering organic matters. By organic matters, I hope you understand what I mean. The living side of our relationship with God. There is a legal side of our relationship with God. And that legal side was satisfied by Jesus on the cross when he fulfilled the claims of the divine justice. The implication of that is that the Father became righteous in doing his will, in administering justice, in keeping with his will. His will was obstructed because of that element of rebellion when humankind declared independence against him. That act of treachery was sated when Jesus, through a legal statement, decided to offer himself without spot unto God through the Holy Ghost. So the position of deficiency that was the bane of humankind was reversed. And that was a legal statement. The legal statement was supposed to produce and provide a platform for a living, vital relationship. Are you with me? Now, that living, vital relationship is what the grace preacher wants to destroy so that we become victims of the letters without the dimensions of the Spirit. And that status and state of existence, the Bible calls it death. Death, from biblical perspective, is not a cessation of life, but is a separation from God. There are several levels of separation from God that we can find in Scripture. But one that I need to bring to your notice quickly is separation of God in the context of a broken fellowship. So there's separation from God in the context of an unbeliever not being able to connect with God, because the only access route to God is through the instrumentality of the Spirit of God. That's the access route to God. And that's the operating system in which God can be found. God can function. God functions in spirit form. So the Bible says that any man that does not have the Spirit of Christ is none of his. Hallelujah. So you become Christ's when his Spirit has come to seal your heart against that day. That is the proof that you are part of him. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, so God was handicapped on the issues of bringing the civilization that is powered by his Spirit into our heart because of a legal gap. So Jesus came and satisfied that legal gap so that God can bring his civilization into us. The personality that conducts, that carries, that travels with his civilization is called the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Now, so what I'm trying to show you is a migration. Because the grace preachers want to cut off every form of experience with God so that we will live within the crucible of letters that kill. I want to use this evening to launch a campaign. A campaign on the organic side of the experience of God. The organic side. Hallelujah. And I trust God that we'll be able to make some progress this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. If you study your Bible and by any means stumble on the book of Revelation, you will find out the details of a supernatural ecosystem. Hallelujah. In this supernatural ecosystem, you find some factors. And when we talk about heaven, we're talking about a civilization that is animated by the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, that civilization cannot exist. In fact, the civilization is in the Spirit of God. And so, a lot of metaphors were consulted in trying to give us an understanding of that civilization. It's a whole civilization. trapped in the person of the Holy Ghost. Now, and this grace guy is trying to institutionalize a possibility of staying in dissociation with the Spirit of God and expecting to be a partaker of the full scope of that civilization. Even Paul himself said, grieve not. He's the only link you have to that realm of civilization. You'll be doing yourself disservice if your business is a business of grieving him continually. So when we say that someone, a believer doesn't confess sin, it's a license for people to stay outside of fellowship with God. Because we will labor. Your fellowship with God is a very critical aspect of your life in the spirit. And anything that will touch your fellowship with God, you must be ready to do away with that thing. If you consider God to be the most important personality in the corridor of your existence. I said in the book of Revelation, we see a realm. A realm that is powered by the Spirit of God, a civilization beyond this dimension of the humankind. That's a whole civilization. And if we begin to study this civilization, we see very concrete matters that are captured within the scope of that civilization. The first thing we see in the book of Revelation chapter 4 is an invitation that a man that is on a location on earth called the Isle of Patmos. Are you with me? He's given. He's given an invitation to come up. Come up hither. It was an invitation from heaven. That's a summon. That's what we call a summon. A summon to partake. A summon to participate. You see, heaven happens to be a set of interconnected dimensions. Please help me preach that to your neighbor. Heaven is what? It's a set of interconnected. How did I come up with this philosophy? The Bible says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings domiciled in the heavenly realms. However, you must understand that it's not only God that is in the heavenly realms. The Bible speaks about spiritual wickedness. Where? The heavenly realm. So the address of the place where these blessings are domiciled in the heavenly realms was added to the heavenly realms so that we will not go into the darkness of wickedness in search of our blessings. So he gave us the appropriate and the accurate address of where the blessings with which and by which he has blessed us are domiciled. And he said that those blessings are in Christ Jesus. Now wait. Those blessings are not just in Christ Jesus, but they are in places in Christ Jesus. So in Christ Jesus, they are places. They are dimensions. Now, you will notice. Are you still with me? Stay with me. Stay with me. Because these guys want to cut off this reality I'm trying to talk about. I want to make poles and pillars out of things you call suggestions. So that you will know that the realm that they are trying to play with is a realm that is more real than this one that we are living in. And the only navigator that we have that can help us come into the fullness of the things that God wants us to participate in that realm, happens to be the Holy Spirit. And we are enjoined never to grieve him because he's the one that introduces us into this civilization. So if by any means you have quarrel with him, you are going to have problems. Because you see, when God came to Abraham and said, get thee out of thy country, get thee out of that kindred, get thee out from thy father's house and go to a land that I will show. Notice he did not give him the address of the land. But the only possibility of his arriving at that land is dependent on the one that will show him. So if somebody is leading you somewhere, you don't know the place, you will be very weary to quarrel with him in transit. Because the moment he switches off his light, your transition ends. I speak in parables this evening, like an old man. Hey, glory. So that's how it is for the Holy Ghost. He's the one that navigates us into this civilization. And fortunately for us, on the account of our redemption, we qualify to participate in this civilization. In fact, the scripture says that her nationality is in heaven. You don't need to die before you go to heaven. You need to be partaking of heaven every day of your life. I mean heaven, the place. There's an infrastructure built into our redemption module with which we can participate in those dimensions. That infrastructure is called the Holy Ghost. Now, so when John on the Isle of Patmos, you know why he was ostracized from society? He was cut off from civilization. And he was kept in the place of outlaws, where no matter how notorious you are, your impact will be limited to an island. And there is a bogus river that separates you from the city center. Meanwhile, in his prophetic calling, he was supposed to be the one that will send letters to those people. But there was a bogus and a river, a mighty river, separating him from the people he was to deliver letters to. So everything that was in his environment was limitation. There was limitation in distance, hallelujah, limitation in food supply, limitation in clothing, in housing, limitation in water because he cannot drink from the salt water. Everything in the environment was speaking limitation. And unfortunately for him, after grumbling for so long, on the Lord's day, he now decided to enter into the Spirit. We don't know how long he was on the Isle of Patmos. But the Bible told us the day when his staying on Patmos started making sense. It was the day he decided to subscribe. Please help me tell your neighbor, when last did you subscribe to Spirit Frequency? Glory to God. Spirit Frequency is like a radio station. Transmission is on day in, day out. The problem is subscription. Many guys want to function with the realities bedeviling the natural sphere, and they view their lives within the measurement of the limitations that the natural sphere holds for them. And such were the days in which John refused to switch on to the frequency. Fortunately for him, on the Lord's day, he entered the frequency. And he began to hear new sounds. These new sounds were not coming from Herod's palace. They were not coming from Caesar's citadel. They were coming from a realm. And the only access route into that realm happens to be what? The Holy Ghost. Sounds began to break out. And as he was distracted by the sounds and eventually attracted by them, he now found out that the sounds were distinct sounds. As he stood in that environment, an all-sufficient dimension began to come. A realm that was not limited by the limitations of his physical pilgrimage began to find expression. And suddenly, it was as if, okay, maybe the things I'm experiencing is by mistake. I'm in the right atmosphere. That's why it's happening. Suddenly there was a direct notification that was sent to him, summoning him, not the multitude, but what? Him to the courts. Come up hither. Now the first thing you will notice after come up hither, I'm not yet ready for us to do that, my sermon I call the guided tour through heaven. I'm not yet ready. But I'm preparing you. The first time I tried it, people couldn't take it. It was, so I waited for more years. More years. I attempted it. You will notice that when Stephen was to be stoned to death, the Bible reveals that he lifted up his eyes, and that's not physical eyes. He lifted up his eyes into heaven and he saw the Son of Man standing. Now it was not physical eyes. I hope you know by now. You see, while he was yet on earth, he began to have interactions with heaven. That's what I'm saying. While John was on Patmos, he began to have interactions with heaven. And he saw that heaven had, it was more, that realm had, was more solid than the physical realm that he was domiciled in, that he was a pilgrim in. And the realm did not have the kind of limitations that he was suffering in his current estate. When the summons came to him, stay with me. Because that scripture is a migration. It's a migration. Job chapter 42 verse 5. It's a migration. It's a migration. And I want to ensure that everyone fastens his seatbelt so that we can engage, we can dare that migration. Discipline. It's a migration. Been around this mountain for too long. It's time to migrate. So it came to pass when John was summoned, the voice said, come up hither, and I will show you things that will take place hereafter. Then we discovered that in the realm that John was being summoned into, present and past in our own context is an eternal now. What did I call it? Now, let me explain my eternal now phenomenon. You see, Benny Hinn does this program called This Is Your Day. This Is Your Day. For any one of us that has DSTV, you know This Is Your Day. Now, This Is Your Day takes 2 weeks from the studio before it gets to the, from his studio before it gets to TBN. 2 weeks. 2 weeks production, post-production before it gets to TBN. And one of those days he was in a crusade in Dubai, so he could not do his studio work. And I told them. Because TBN called him and said, how are we going to do with your program? He said, use an old tape. Old tape. So the TBN people selected a tape, an old tape, at random from the host of tapes that were present in the studio. And unfortunately for TBN, the tape they took, Benny Hinn gave a very specific word of knowledge. A word of knowledge about a lady. I think her name was Phoebe, and she was wearing yellow, and she was sitting on the couch and watching him on television. And this Phoebe had cancer. Hallelujah. And Benny Hinn ministered in that tape to Phoebe and rebuked the spirit of cancer. And it came to pass, when the tape was running, there was a Phoebe. This Phoebe was in the parlor, sitting on the couch, watching Benny Hinn. And Benny Hinn rebuked the cancer, and the cancer dried up. So my question is that an old tape? What is your definition of old tape? Because John was coming to enter into a civilization where he needs renewal of mind to participate in. The call and the summon to the dimension was, come up hither, and I will show you things which must come to pass hereafter. Hallelujah. Come, I will show you. Your realm does not allow for you guys to peep into things beyond your current circumstances. I need to show you things that will happen hereafter. In this realm, what you call future is in the eternal package of the now. See, God is a perpetual continuum. And that's why the Bible says now faith is. In faith, you are reconciled with God's frame of reference. That eternal now faith is. Somebody say now faith is. Because the things that God will tell you, that those things have already become real in the spirit realm, with which the substance of faith can attest to. Your physical eyes cannot see it, but you're already walking in the reality of the eternal now through the instrumentality of faith. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Well, he decided to oblige and he yielded to the summon. Hallelujah. Upon his yielding, okay, I agree to go to where you want to take me. Then we see the first mystery of that realm. The first mystery of that realm is what we call the transportation mystery. Hallelujah. Now, I have a big lecture to do here. It's a very bogus. I'm just trying to introduce it so that you can understand. The dimensions are such that you need to understand what we are doing so that you can enter into it stresslessly. First thing he noticed is what we call the transport mode of the civilization that is in the spirit. Revelation chapter 4. Meanwhile, I still remember I said you should open to Job chapter 42 verse 5. Now, the reason why I'm not stumbling in on Job It's because we need support scriptures to bring you to a point where you can perceive Job. The Job, that scripture in Job is full of spirit dimensions. But it will be difficult for you to see those dimensions unless we do some. Because the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 5, is a migration. And that's what God wants to achieve in the body of Christ now. A what? Migration. You know, Jesus said that in this world you have tribulation. This world. You have, everybody will be looking for you to stone you. Witches will be holding meetings in the night about you. As long as you are in this world, you cannot be immune to those meetings. Those meetings will go on. They will go on in Oji River, go on in Aguleri, they will go on. Doesn't matter how anointed you become, you can't stop the meetings. The meetings will go. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. But he didn't stop there. Because if he had stopped there, he would have left behind a mourning service. Mourning would have become the product of that message. But he said, in me you have. So there were two options of what to subscribe to. You can subscribe to this world. And one thing is sure, your life will be heavily laden with tribulation. But in me, you have peace. So you can be in him even though you are a pilgrim in this world. And this world brings you tribulation, but the tribulation is so much, however, you dwell in him. So in the midst of the tribulation, you have peace. That is a man that is operating from heaven, that is a pilgrim on the earth. So I operate in heaven, but I manifest on earth. That's why Paul could say, nothing can separate us from the love of God. I mean, in that love. I sense that love. Because the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So there's a flood of that love inside of me right now. And as that flood is coming, that flood is so strong that when you bring Boko Haram sword, we are not one of the people who are affected. Because where we are dwelling, that sword cannot reach. Now, I'm talking about a civilization. And it's a spirit that holds the patent to that civilization. Revelation chapter 4. I don't have much time. My duty is to bring doctrine. When I'm done with my duty, then my friend will bring ministration. Hallelujah. And after this is, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. So his spiritual senses were activated. He was able to design a door. This door was not in Quarafa quarters. This door he designed was in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet. It's when we do the guided tour through heaven so that we can define heaven. Heaven will no longer be an illusion to you. Heaven will become a concrete place that you can participate in now as a recreated believer. We'll do that teaching, but not now. All right? He said, when that door opened, he heard a voice. The voice was like the first one that he heard, which sounded like a trumpet. Now, the voice sounded like, we'll leave that till that time. Talking with him. Actually, what happened here is that it was a trumpet blast. As the trumpet was blasting, he could discern the message in the blast. This is what is happening. Okay, now, this is sound. I don't know. Don't worry. When we do that, we'll bring it together. Bring it together. Then we need to consult that scripture that says, blessed are they that know the joyful sound. Not they that hear it, but they that know. There's a joyful sound. Many do not know it. So it is in the knowing of that sound that he was able to decode what the trumpet blast was talking. What's that whistle that they use in Igbo land that is like this? Huh? Oja. Now, you know that the elders know the his communication. But what a young boy will be hearing his sound. The elder is a means of communication. But your ears will need to be trained for you to not to hear it, but to know. Blessed are they that what? That not hear. No, the joyful. So, you see, when the Spirit of God awakes within your spirit man and he begins to sing the song of songs, many of you hear the sound and you enjoy it. But you see, in that sound is a communication, it's a summon. And only the people that can partake of the blessing of that movement are only those that know the joyful sound. This is where boys are separated from men. And that's why at the end of the day, in final analysis, the people that become movers and shakers of the kingdom happen to be few. Because this system we're talking about, it has a lot of gates and a lot of sieves that sieves out many people, that cuts out many people. At the end of the day, only few become giants in a generation. Blessed are they that what? That know the joyful sound. What exactly did this joyful sound say? It said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. This is a civilization. This is a place. Right? It's an arena. It's a reality. Hallelujah. Now, to show you how that heaven is full of places, heaven is full of courts, heaven is full of interconnected dimensions, you notice Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14, when Lucifer, he made a statement. He said, I will ascend. Now, where was he when he wanted to ascend? He was still in heaven, a layer of heaven, but there was a part of heaven he needs to. Are we what? Now, see, like I said, until we get ready for that guided talk, because a lot of people have threatened people with the teaching of heaven, that make sure you make heaven. Hey! And when they pray, they say, he will make heaven. I wonder, it's a pious prayer. But sorry, I touched heaven. While we were praying, I touched heaven. I had to go back to unveil one of my diaries. I touched heaven. You know, a believer believes that he needs to die so that he can go to heaven. Don't die for that. Because through the instrumentality of the navigating spirit, you can enter into every layer of heaven. It's just that some layers you need to be summoned before you can enter into it. You can't just come and say, oh boy, I just show. They know they show. They know they show. They know they show. Hallelujah. There are places in heaven where there are no access routes. No windows, no doors. But when there's a proclamation from the authority of that sector, a portal is created. It is through that portal you are sucked in. And that's why no matter how vast you are in spiritual things, there are experiences that you never have. Because those experiences are in other places. And you were not someone there. And sorry, I don't want to sound mystical or sound deep. I'm just embodying. Embodying that theologians came together and they want to cut off every organic reality. And you see, the organic reality is deeper and vaster than eternity. And then you wake up, I'm burdened. That's why I'm preaching like this. Hallelujah. Please flash my scripture. He said, come up hither and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And what happened? Immediately, I was in the spirit. Now, so this that I was in the spirit is what we call the transport mode of in that civilization. So in that civilization, that place called heaven, the first thing you are going to begin to experience as part of participation in heaven is what we call spirit transport. Now, when we come to talk about a guided tour through heaven, then I will talk transport very well. But the first thing we notice in John chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4, is transport. Immediately, I was in the spirit. That means in the spirit, there is a transport system. You will notice that in the spirit, he moved to a location in heaven where the throne was domiciled. So there was transport, there was movement, there was migration. Hallelujah. Transport. Transport. Now, there are various modes of transport. You will notice that the Bible says that we will mount up with wings like the eagles mounting up. Now, you see, there's a way the eagle mounts up. It mounts up, majestically with grace. Not quick. Now, you see, that kind of mounting up is with a view of attaining a particular cruise height. A cruise height. If you have ever been on a plane, Dana Airlines, Medview Airlines, at first when they take off from the tarmac, they are fighting against gravity. And the fight is so intense, sometimes the plane will vibrate. And for newcomers in flight issues, when that vibration takes place, that's the first surge of blood. First surge. You will hear some sound. It's fighting against gravity. Then when it now overcomes gravity, then some form of release. So when it goes beyond acceleration due to gravity, then there's release. It now begins to go smoothly. And then it comes against collisions with clouds. It's like bumps in the airways. And when it goes above, you see, clouds have different layers. When it goes above the first layer, then the plane can now rest for cruise. Now, that's the kind of experience that is being depicted by the metaphor, mounting up with wings. The reason why you may need to mount up is so that you can be part of a transport system that takes you to a location where spiritual transactions take place. You see, when you begin to speak in tongues, initially, you come against resistance, because the place you went to, the person that insulted you in the bank, the usher that was not polite, the security man that cursed you, all of that, you come with that into the prayer meeting, and it weighs deeply on your spirit, man. You need some force to overcome the abuse you have suffered by the conductor, by the Okada man, by, oh my God. You went to the bank and you put your ATM in the machine, and then the machine just took the whole ATM. And having taken the ATM, you now had a debit alert of 20,000. I remember those days I used to use ATM to recharge my phone. Until one day, the ATM took the money and there was no recharge on my phone. Now, how do you... Okay, if you transfer money and it doesn't reach the other side, you can go and complain. This one, ATM, this is recharge. How can you prove that you did not take the recharge and then you were calling Moscow? What is a proof? There was no proof. Since that day, I stopped charging my phone with ATM. Because sometimes when you cast out devils and you go to ATM, the manifestation will be there. In this world, we will have tribulation. In this world. There are challenges in this world. Don't spend all your days in this world. Migrate. Now, that's a message you preach to your neighbor. You've been too long in this world. I'm seeing the wrinkles on your face. It's this world that did it. Learn how to migrate. You have a multiple entry visa into the dimensions of God through the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Now, so, the transport mode. Immediately I was in the spirit. And suddenly he was before the throne. He didn't know how he got there. It's transport. So we have a kind of transport. That's the kind of transport you accumulate when you begin to speak in tongues. You gain ascendancy gradually. So you don't even know that you are flying because it's so gradual. Hallelujah. Gradual ascendancy.
there's a point I reach when we pray, right? That's why I don't like leading prayers. I get more blessed if somebody is leading and I'm praying. Because I'll be able to know when I have appeared. You see, the Bible says that they go from strength to strength in Zion. Every one of them that appears before. It's easy for me to know when I appear before. How do they appear? The Bible didn't say them that come. It said them that what? Appear before the Lord. You see, these things that we are speaking about is difficult for you to understand it in the natural. How? You see, Anizemo, the reality of Anizemo, the powers of Anizemo, you see it manifesting in his shrine. He can invoke his spirit. The spirit will one agbara. We appear there. Agbara Mary. Agbara. Agbara. All kinds of things will appear in that place. You say it's a powerful. Powerful is a mo. The point is this. Our own temple. The temple of our priesthood is in heaven. So things appear there. When you speak in tongues, that temple, things appear. Things happen. Sometimes thunderbolt strikes. But you see, because our own shrine is not on earth. That's why you trivialize the things that you do. But I came to enlighten you about the civilization that the Holy Spirit brings. So that faith can be born in your spirit, man. So that the next time that you are praying and the devil comes and says, you see, there's no answer. You will know better. In your own shrine in the heavens. So I know when I appear. If you are leading prayer and I'm praying along, I'm most blessed. I know when I know how it feels. Right, so you begin to do gradual mounting up until you enter cruise mode. So when you reach the cruise mode, you are actually directed to the place of transaction. The Bible calls it a throne. It's a throne of grace. You see, hallelujah. That's where spiritual transactions take place. Right? At the throne of grace, you come to exchange your weakness. You pick his strength. Have you watched war films before? People will come and they say, okay, they bring obsolete guns, then they throw them away. When they see AK, they see machine. You have been using obsolete, this binocular rifle, the one they shoot, bam. That when you shoot it, your hand goes up like this. And then you break it again to look for. Before you do that, the enemy is likely to take advantage. So when you move to the throne of grace, then exchange takes place. Exchange, transactions take place. All kinds of stuff. So the first kind of movement that you experience in transport is mounting up, mounting up, mounting up. There are other transport systems. Why am I coming here? Why I'm going too far away from. I have a message on my script here. Hallelujah. Okay, let's try to look for a scripture in the book of Job. Job chapter 7. Maybe Job chapter 7 will help us out. Job chapter 7. Hey, is this 7? I've forgotten where I can find my scripture. All right, don't worry. Give me 2 minutes. Now get my scripture. You see, the Holy Ghost has taken me beyond my script. That is my challenge now. My challenge is that I had a red hot message prepared for this evening. And it's so unfortunate that the one that knows better than me has made my message obsolete, just like the rifle. That rifle. Hallelujah. All right, let's do Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. The reason why I want to read from verse 1 is so that we can have the context in view. Truth does not exist in a vacuum. It exists in a context of reality. So, Job chapter 38, verse 1. I have 10 more minutes to stop my presentation. Then I sit down. I'm attempting to show you how concrete the realm that God has invited us to function in through His Spirit, how concrete that realm is. That realm is more concrete than this realm. This realm is a realm of time. And in eternity, time has no authority. So from eternity, from the perspective of eternity, we are in an unreal realm.
So if you were moved by lust and you committed fornication, you were beguiled by what was not real. After the fornication, after the sexual intercourse, you want to hold the sexual intercourse and it fleets because it wasn't real in the first place. It is when you have an encounter with God, it doesn't go. Because what you encountered is immortal, is eternal. That one stays with you. It forms you. But, okay. The other day we went to a Chinese restaurant. My friends in Lagos, they said, "Pastor, we are taking you out." "Oh!" I said, "Where?" I said, "Chinese restaurant." I said, "Glory." When we came into the place, I was the only odd man in the team. You know, we are from the backside of Benue State. We don't have any Chinese restaurant. The only things we have here, beer gardens. That's the civilization of this terrain. So I was an odd man. And I was loud with questions so that the next time I come there, I will know how to behave myself properly. So when we got into the place, they brought menu. The largest menu I've ever seen is in Chinese restaurant. So I became afraid. Not to order for something that when you finish eating. So I asked critical questions about the meaning of this and the meaning of that. So they now brought the stuff. The thing is sweet. Jesus. Sweet stuff. Well, you know what? I don't even know how it tastes anymore. My tongue has lost touch with the sweetness because the realm in which I trafficked is a fleeting realm. From eternity, they don't believe that is real. And that's why there is meat that is meat indeed. Because all of this is... So God is now looking out to see if you are wise. Some people get stuck on the things of this world and they are cut off from their purposes. You were stuck on a balloon. Stuck on thin air. Stuck on what doesn't really exist. Because in the realm of reality, you find out in that civilization, that fornication does not exist. In fact, hallelujah, are you with me? In the realm of reality, you find out that marriage is canceled. Because you have entered into the real marriage, this artificial one that illustrates that one is no longer necessary. So we will now be like the angels. You get that? Because we have been gathered into the real frame of reference, the illustrations, the pictures, the drawings are removed. So please enjoy your marriage while it lasts. In fact, your marriage will work if you subscribe to the realities that are captured within the mystical union of Christ and the church. There are realities there, there are laws, there are policies, there are principles. If you bring those principles into your physical marriage, it will work. Because there are many things that are of earth, but marriage is reflective of something that is a reality in the realm. It will only survive by the principles of that ultimate reality that it illustrates. It's not of man. It's not because we went and studied in Harvard and they said, there's need for man to be with woman. It came from, as a reminder, that we are yoked with a reality that is not human. And that our destiny is going to be by common union with him. So he gave us this test. So that in this test, we can begin to die to self and we can now function in love by going out of ourselves to minister to one another. And in that, we would have perfected the nature of our Father who is in heaven. Are you with me in the book of Job chapter 38? I have 5 more minutes to go. Now, listen carefully. Listen carefully. Because I want to introduce the context in which the verse of interest I want to draw is found. See, truth does not exist in a vacuum. So we need to see the sequence of truth that gave birth to that particular verse. Because if we take that verse out of that context, it will not be true in another context that is not this context. Alright, this, Job chapter 38, is a response that God gave to all of the arguments and the
litigations that Job brought against God. Hallelujah. Arguments and litigations were brought. God kept quiet. I don't have time to show us the entire context and the friends of Job that came to visit him. They are all proponents of different kinds of philosophy. But the philosophy that Job was riding on was the philosophy of self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Job felt he was accurate. Job felt he was perfect. Job felt he had no guile. And he felt that God has dealt with him unjustly. It is the New Testament that you find out that the fact that you are accurate with God will not exempt you from trials. In fact, the fact that you are accurate with God might be the basis upon which trials might come your way. Because Job was doing fine with God. And it was because he was fine with God that God recommended him and said, "Devil, are you aware there's one guy there whose name is Job?" And notice that Satan did not need to go back to check a file to bring Job's database. Job's database was with him. Please help me tell your neighbor, your database is with the devil. However, that's not an object of fear. Hallelujah. So Job was riding on the philosophy of self-righteousness. In the book of Job chapter 38, God decided to respond to Job. Respond to him. And this was God's response. Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, verse number two, "Who is this?" Now it's a question of identity that darkeneth counsel by words without. You see, I like this verse so much. If we stay on this verse, we might get digressed. Who is this? It darkens counsel. You know the meaning of that? It's just like a believer looking for God. He was on campus. He got born again. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Began to pray. Started hearing the voice of God. And then something began with him. Right? Then he now came home for holiday and attended church. And the first message he heard in church actually killed everything that was starting with him. The counsel he heard in church was the darkening of counsel. It was a counterproductive counsel. Now, I don't have time to take you to the book of John chapter 3 from verse 31. And I'll show you there are two kinds of pastors. There are some pastors that speak from heaven. Those pastors that speak from heaven, they are called stars in the economy of God. And there are some pastors that speak from earth. You see, where you speak from is actually where your strongest consciousness is. The Bible says that he that is from above is speaketh the words of God. And the Spirit of God is not given to him with measure. That part B, part aspect of the scripture speaks exclusively about Jesus. Because it was Jesus to whom the Spirit was not given with measure. You get that? So he was speaking about himself. Now the things I speak are the things that I've seen, the things that I've heard. Those are the things I testify about. That's a star. I don't have time. See, in the book of Revelation, when Jesus showed up on the island of Patmos, he came with some metaphors. Communication was in metaphor form. And as he was moving in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, in his right hand he held the seven stars. That's where I got my stars from. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 20, Jesus now decides to interpret what the seven golden candlesticks meant and what the seven stars meant. And the seven golden candlesticks, we're talking about the seven churches in Asia Minor. And the seven stars, we're talking about the Argelos, the ministers of the gospel. Not angels, but ministers. Because the context in which the church was considered in the book of Revelation chapter 1 is territorially. The church can be seen from the eternal perspective, from the universal perspective, from the global perspective, and from the territorial perspective. The context in the book of Revelation is the territorial perspective. So the messengers in that context are human beings like you and me. Right? Now, if Jesus called those pastors, those messengers, those evangelists, those apostles that he was holding, if he called them stars, it means that there were luminaries in the galaxies of God. And in the book of John chapter 3 verse 31, the Bible reveals that he that is from above is above all. He that is from above speaketh the words of God.
He that is from the earth is earthly and speaketh from the earth. So you can know where a man is operating from when you hear what he's saying. So when, if a little fire is kindled in your spirit and you sit under a man that is speaking from the earth, what does he do? He darkens counsel. The burden of the Church of Jesus in Nigeria is the burden of darkened counsel. We have gone around the country for ministers' conferences to get small light with which to run. After doing it until I was almost becoming bow-legged, I came back to my cordial and said, Lord, if you are there, teach me the way that I must go. You know what God told me? The things you are going to look for are the things that you should give to people that are coming to you. That means you will never find this help. Meanwhile, you are supposed to give this kind of help out. That's what he told me. You will never find this help, but you are ordained to give this kind of help. So that in your time, it should be said that this kind of help, which you are looking for, which it will elude you, you will give up. Are you with me? How many of you have attended ministers' conferences? You came out worse. You began to remember the transport money that you spent to come. I know many of you came from Enugu. But from the first night you came, you forgot your transport money. Whether you borrowed it, whether you are going to pay back, you have forgotten. Because what you are contacting is much more than what you spent to come here. Yes, some of you left the comfort of your house, wonderful place, and you are squatting, you are trying to, just so that you could hear the word of God. And you don't mind staying under the conditions that are available to you. It's because what you want to receive is more than what you are going through. Me, I've labored. You don't understand what I'm talking about. And then you find men speaking from the earth. We went somewhere, they say Moses was taken. His name was called Moses because he was taken from the water. That Moses was he had water spirit problem. That he was afflicted with water demons, water devils, the queen of the coast. You see, when you are living in such a place, I told you, live dramatically. Hold your Bible like I did, and then go in slow motion. His name was called Moses, for he was taken out. The other time it was an elitist conference. Everybody needs to have an iPad to come there. You must have a bow tie. Well, Kitten, you just come in like, you know, glory. Your trousers must not be slipping on you. It must be perfect. They cut perfect. They call it carrot in Lagos. Carrot. We went for the carrot conference. And in the carrot conference, the minister leading prayer said, the devil does not exist. Once we say he doesn't exist and we turn our minds from him, he will not exist for you. Somebody say glory. Now, you know, the way you live that place, you live like this. The great teacher himself, he said, the prince of this world. Then after that one, I said, let's go back to my college. Let's go back. No more. The devil does not exist. He exists in your mind. Somebody say glory to that. Oh my. I said, he that is, I don't have time. He that is from the earth, he is earthly. And he speaketh from the earth. He darkens counsel. Don't go with your small fire there. He will quench it. Meanwhile, when Isaiah spoke about the ministry of Jesus, he said there's a smoking flax. He will never quench. Just in case there's little fire burning and you come in contact with Jesus. Oh my, his specialties will kindle it. He gives you power. He gives it capacity. He will never quench the smoking fire. The young man prayed and received from God that he was supposed to read law. And when he was feeling jammed, he filled for law.
Benue State University. Then his mentor now said, "Are you sure it's God you heard? Are you sure that you heard God?" And the guy came out. He had to go for serious prayer again. "Lord, did you say Lord?" Then he got reassured. Then he knew that that place was the valley of darkening of cancer. I speak in parables. Who is this that darkened cancer? What exactly was wrong with the utterances of Job that gave it the status of darkening cancer? Please go back to the scripture. He darkened cancer because he gave up words without knowledge. The words were empty of knowledge. You see, in the New Testament, there is a word is introduced, epignosis. Epignosis is called the revealed knowledge of Christ. Epignosis. That is knowledge indeed. And any kind of utterance you give that is devoid of epignosis will darken cancer. It will not build up. It will not edify. It will not do the kind of things that the voice of God does on the hearts of men. So he said, "Who is this that darkens cancer by words without knowledge?" Next verse. "Gird up thy loins." So God wants to test Job because Job has been bringing litigations. Job has been sending writ of summons to God. But the reason why you are doing what you are doing is because you are powerful. Me, I'm righteous. I know that. You are just more powerful than me. That's why you are succeeding to do what you are doing. Me, I will keep talking, but I will submit. But I'm still here. So Job was, "It's all right. Since you claim that you are so accurate, prepare yourself. I want to ask you some questions." You know, the Bible says that counsel in the heart of man is like deep waters. A man of understanding draweth it out. And the way that a man of understanding draws out counsel from the heart of a man is by asking him questions. So if you are really deep, get set. Let me ask you a few questions. Now, the first question was, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" Now, I want you to see that. Hallelujah. You see, I'm going closer to the verse I want to draw. Because this verse I want to draw will show us the second mode of transport. After that, I'll sit down. He said, "Get up like thy loins like a man require of you, and you answer me." He said, "Where were you?" Next verse. "When I laid the foundations of the earth." If you were not as ancient as being present when I laid the foundations of the earth, there were several secrets that I plugged into the foundations that, except you were there, you would not understand your condition. So unfortunately, you are not ancient enough to have the capacity to take me to court, because there are many details that have eluded you. You are operating. Hallelujah. Now, the distance from the closest star to... Oh, no, let's not go to the star. The distance from the moon to the earth. I hope you know, if you're standing on the moon, you can see the walls of China. And if you're standing on the moon, there's only one continent you will see, that is Africa. Yes. And a man standing on the moon won't see your poverty. Oh, yeah. You don't... From that perspective, your poverty does not exist. Don't live a lie. We can go beyond the constraints of the natural. So, if Africa can be seen, China's world can be seen, how will you look like from the moon? You don't exist. This man that doesn't exist, from that perspective, not from the first star, from moon, he doesn't exist. This human being, this you that does not exist, then now comes and say, speaking of Job now, "It's because you are too strong. That's why I know I'm right." See, he doesn't. Is it not foolishness for him to contend with his maker? Have you read what Isaiah said? It's foolishness to contend. So if you know how big he is, you'll stop talking. He said, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? All the galaxies, Milky Way, Orion, Pleiades. Huh? Those are mighty galaxies in that firmament. Let's not go deeper. There's one astronaut. He was an atheist. When he went around and came back, he gave his life to Christ. He said, what he saw there is beyond the realms of mortals. There's a genius beyond the sight of the human eyes. Do you remember that song? You made the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are the amazing God. Undescribable, unchangeable. You see, this song, strike the chord. If you can't play it, leave there. If you can't play it, leave. Oh, the problem is not from him. We need to find it. There is an evil spirit. It's between here and here. This my harp. It's always an object. It's an object of attack. This harp. Now, when I hear that song, I weep. You know why? It gives me vistas. It gives me new eyes, new binoculars, new lenses for me to see how vast God is. And then you are saying, we are from Usongo. From the moon, they don't see it. It's not visible. That's from the moon, no, not from heaven. No. So, are you with me? The guy came back home and he went to church and knelt down and said, what? Nobody preached to him. Creation ministered to him. When he saw the vastness of the firmament. If you have made some trips on flight, when evening is turning into night, then these clouds become red. You see a firmament of red. Then you realize you are small. Where did this red come from? All the clouds were red. I had to worship. I worship. And this great colossus that we speak of, when the membrane of your miniature form was being coupled in the womb, he saw you. Sometimes takes time, take some time to reflect, to meditate. Then you will know that you were not the one that chose him. It was him that chose you. Can we take that song one more time? Just to this song, you know what an air freshener does? This is a meditation freshener. It opens your mind to think about the real things. Because most of you came here, it was the poverty of Benue State that was the affliction on your soul. How that you have not seen the 65 letters that make up an alert in the past 5 months. Who knows the song? Indescribable, unchangeable, stars in the sky. Now, don't sing, just hear my choir. Just hear. This choir began to exist from the past 2 weeks. It was rebranded, reborn. Now I can recommend, hear them. Hear ye the choir. I wasn't seeing them. They were not existing. From the moon, they were nowhere. They emerged suddenly, 2 weeks ago. So please hear them. Now I just want you to hear the wordings. And then let's think about it. Then you will see how that Job darkened cancer. And don't waste my time. Don't waste my time. Don't waste my time.
All powerful, all attainable, awesome, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Indescribable, all attainable, awesome, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. You are amazing, God.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Hope you were blessed. For more of Apostle Aramel's sermon, visit rcnsermons.org. God bless you.